Well, I'm going to talk to you about some work that we're doing there at Beltsville, and actually we're doing this work both at Beltsville in Maryland, North Carolina, and in Georgia. And I guess page down, page up, something like that. There it down. Okay, so about a couple of years ago, we applied for and got a Conservation Innovation Grant to do some on-farm research to help with developing some decision support tools for producers. And so what we're looking at is a way to encourage producers to incorporate more cover crops into their management systems. So to generate data and also generate interest in using cover crops, we're doing these on-farm projects, as I said, in three different states. We have strips of cover crops across the field, no cover, and then cover crop, and it's no-till corn. And primarily what we're working with is nitrogen and water in these decision support tools. And we have some modeling that we're going to be doing, and so this data is going to be feeding back into that process. So we're working on about 45 farms. So to reach our objectives of being able to measure soil water content on 45 farms, we were thinking, okay, well, the original plan was to go out and take beginning of the season, end of season soil profile water content and say, okay, this is what happened. But as most of you, yeah, shaking your head, no, that doesn't work, because what if it rained and we're in the humid area of the eastern U.S.? Might work where Susan's from, but it's not going to work in Georgia or North Carolina. So we wanted to come up with a low-cost way to accomplish measuring soil water content on these farms. We wanted something that was easy to set up because we have a lot of different people working on these projects. We have extension agents. We wanted something that was easy to retrieve the data from. We wanted it to be reliable. And also, you know, as you start developing something, one of the other researchers wants you to add something else to the system. It's quite a challenge. So this is what the field setup looks like. We decided to use a gateway node system using microcontrollers there to measure soil water content and then transmit that data back to a gateway that was at the end of the field so that an extension agent can come up there, plug his computer in or use a Bluetooth or something like that to download the data. We stored the data on both the nodes and the gateways. The microcontroller that we're using in both systems is this Motina Mega, which has a LoRa radio built into it. And it's an Arduino-based processor. It has a lot of pins for input, output, both analog and digital. And it's easy to program, easy to set up sketches so that we could accomplish being able to take measurements from our soil water sensors that we put out. So we prototyped some boards, and you can see there we have a micro SD card there, breakout for doing data collection, data storage. We have a real-time clock here module that we added to the system so that hopefully the time would be synchronized across all the nodes and all the gateways. And then, you know, the Bluetooth to be able to come up there with your phone and be able to download the data that had been transmitted to the gateway. The nodes, very similar to the gateways with the data storage and the real-time clock, and then terminals on the backside there to hook the sensors to. And then we used a 12-volt battery, sealed acid battery, and we had solar panels to keep these things charged during the growing season. Of course, the thought was that our nodes would collect the data and they would transmit the data back to the gateway and make all the data retrieval somewhat simple. That part of the process, we had some problems because the real-time clocks didn't seem to be real-time clocks. And they would get out of phase with each other, and we would have problems with that. So basically, cost, if you can see there, to you know, put all the components together, get the circuits and everything, it's about $60 is what we were spending. And then, you know, the battery, the solar panel, waterproof enclosure, so about $100 for a node, $100 for the gateway. And so we used these on the farm, and we were collecting data from the newer Klima probes, which are the 310S, and the really cool thing about those probes is that they're round, and you can attach a PVC pipe to the top of that probe, and then you can put them in at different depths. And we had them at 10 centimeters, 40 centimeters, and 75 centimeters. And then in the plots where we had a cover crop, we also had cover crop residue decomposition bags, and we wanted to measure the soil water content right under those bags, and we put Campbell 655s under there in a horizontal orientation. Putting in the Klima probes was really easy. We had a little one inch flight auger that's available from a couple of different companies. You just auger out that hole, and it's tight enough that when you pound that sensor in there, you get a really good seal around the sensor. And then having that PVC pipe made it so much easier to get those sensors back out of the ground. This is what it looked like out in the field. There's three sensors, the three different depths there out on the node, and then a large PVC pipe with a solar panel up on the top. And then this is what the gateway looked at the end of the field. We looked at power consumption on these after we put them out in the field, of course. We were running behind so much. So we did a little power analysis on these and to figure out how many days we could run that battery without the batteries that we had put in the system without having to charge them. And this is a little bit misleading because as the voltage drops in the batteries, you guys probably know this better than I do, as the voltage drop, the current draw on the sensors becomes greater. And so this is a little bit more number of days than you would expect. This is for the nodes. With the sketches we were running, you know, there's an initialization period there that draws a certain current that's sort of a one-time startup thing. But then when we're going through and we're actually doing the measurements, you can see where each of those sensors have a very large current draw. And so this is some of the soil water content data that we collected. This is in the no-cover system. You'll see there's three probes in that system. And in a lot of our locations, the whole system that we put together worked quite well. We got data sent to the gateways, and we were able to get the data out of that. But in others, the gateway and the node communication didn't work that well, and so we actually had to go out to the nodes and get the data off of the micro SD cards. And then this is where the cover crop is, and you can see that the really large fluctuating pattern that's there, that's in that 5 centimeter CS655 right under that residue. And so we were real happy with some of our locations, not so happy with some of the other locations. We had some power problems to begin with. We solved those problems. Then we had communication problems between the gateway and node that we finally figured out that had to do with the clock losing time, and we were transmitting data at the top of the hour. So we're looking at some things we're going to be doing this coming year or during the winter time to improve our sketches, get our data out and easier, and just to improve the system. There's a presentation this afternoon by Manuel Camacho. It's a poster presentation that shows some more analysis of the data, looking at how the different cover crop treatments actually, he did an analysis to look at infiltration rates and dry down curves. So that's sort of how we're using the data. And then it's going to be incorporated into a couple of different decision tools that we're hoping to put in that's part of the Northeast Cover Crop Council. And there's three cover crop councils that are working together to provide user decision support tools across the country for cover crops. So that's it. Short. I'll go with the last question to get at the first question. So the gateways are, the data from the gateways are retrieved either like every other week, and then that data is being brought back to, depending on like if an extension agent collected the data, then they would upload it. We have a web page, it's a Google Docs kind of web page. And then the farmers have access to that website, and for each farm, there's a farm ID, and the farmer can look at their data as it's being processed through the system. We have graphics to be able to show sort of what's happening with their soil water contents and you know, the other data that we're collecting also. We're really wanting to integrate that. That's another change that we're going to make this winter, is to give the farmers tablets with the gateway incorporated into a little dongle that will be in the tablet, and all they've got to do is go out there we're going to write a script that'll ping the node will give it the data, and then when they go back to their house, hopefully they got Wi-Fi or they'll stop at McDonald's, and then we'll have another little script that will upload the data directly to the web page, and we're hoping to automate that first processing of the data so that they can actually see, because the farmer's really excited about this. They want to see their data, though, and right now it's taking us a while to clean things up and make it available.
So I have comment and a question. The comment is regarding the water content measurement. I mean, in 70 centimeters, you could see that it's not changing at all.
Yeah.
So why to have a measurement every, I don't know, 15 minutes or so? Probably you can change the frequency of measurement, and maybe by this to save some of the power that's
yes.
really limited.
Yes.
And the question is the yield of the crop is going to, or did affect the quality of the signal of the radio? The rate that you get from the...
From the low rise, we haven't done the analysis on that. So, but some other people, well, Ken Fisher that we're working with, he's done a little bit of work with the low rise in his systems, and I'm not sure exactly how large the field was that he was working with, and he didn't see, he was able to communicate easily that way.
Five acres.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And so he with that particular technology, it seems to be much better than the other types of radios that are available. Because yeah, I'm real familiar with losing signal on wireless sensors.
Especially in the environment that is changing. Yes.
Yes.
Water content is
changing. Anybody wants to talk to me about the Campbell's wireless sensors? Yeah. But yeah, we're hoping that that's not going to be the case. Our biggest problem was some of the people that put the sensors out, they didn't realize these are line of sight radios, you know, over the hill. Anyway. Yes. The Bluetooth?
The Bluetooth. The module. The wireless transmitter you use.
The Bluetooth.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't work that great. You know, 10 feet, 20 feet, you know, actually it had to be pretty close. But we had a lot of connection problems with that particular Bluetooth module. And so we're going away from that. Because that once you frustrate an extension agent or a farmer, he becomes really uninterested in working with you. So we want, you know, we're just going to use a straight connection, a little dongle into the laptop or to the tablet. Yeah.
particular reason why you chose to use the Arduino setup as opposed to a Raspberry Pi?
Simplicity and cost, because these boards without a Radeon on them cost you about $12. And this was a board that Ken was really familiar with and had been working with, and so, you know.
Also, power consumption is much higher than the Raspberry Pi.
Yes. Yeah. Susan knows more about this than I do.
Just a comment and a question. The LoRa technology, as I understand it, I don't use it a lot, but, you know, just investigating, has the kind of the vision of going 2 to 5 kilometers.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be a long range, but the idea is low power and low data rates.
Right, low data transmission rates. But you can change that in the setups of the radio depending on how conditions are and everything else. We haven't played with tuning that. And we're also thinking of increasing our antenna because we have a quarter dipole. We figure if we go to either a full or a half wave, we will be a lot better off with our transmissions and everything.
And the low rise well set up, I think, for agriculture applications where you're not transmitting a ton of data, you're just trying to get a few water content.
That's right. I mean, yeah. we're going to try to just send 1 week's worth of data, you know, each time, so that it'll be cumulative on the back end as opposed to cumulative within the node,
right,
so that we can help with that transmission problem.
Were you able to, with your solar panel, sufficiently charge? You were talking about initially you were doing some checks.
Yeah, initially we had the wrong solar panels, the wrong batteries, and, you know, it's sort of like learning with the fire hose running at you because these guys want these things, and being naive. But we switched over to, 3-watt solar panels and the 7-amp-hour sealed acid batteries, and those worked great. So. Yes, we're collecting all the data. We don't leave any of it behind because, you know, with these farming operations, you know, we're not sure exactly where we're sitting in the field, so we're trying to make sure that we're getting enough information. If we have to go back and redo the, you know, actually calibrate a site, we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.